Welcome to the I Am African podcast, where excellence isn't just inspired, but demanded. I believe in asking the difficult questions, starting the uncomfortable conversations, proposing outside-the-box solutions, and of course, shaking tables. No, breaking tables, all while being African. I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 25th episode of the I Am African podcast. I get so excited when I mention the number because it seems like only yesterday was episode 1 and 2, and now we are on 25. So, welcome. Thank you for hanging in there. Let me start this episode by reading a review, because maybe this will be a reminder that these reviews are important. Please keep them coming. This one actually came a while ago and I'm only just getting to read it, so I apologize for that. This is from Aim Great, I think that's the name. I'm sorry, Aim Great 0310. It says, so I started listening to your podcast last week, and like yourself, I am an African woman. I love the way you present the information. You have amazing interviews. Most importantly, you discuss topics that we Africans are hesitant to talk about open in public. I will continue to support and listen. Thank you so much. That was definitely something that I had in mind before the podcast started, that I wanted to talk about issues that we might traditionally not discuss publicly. So yes, thank you for noticing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying the podcast. I hope you're still listening. And to everyone else listening, the numbers of reviews are not at all proportional to the numbers of listens. So I know you guys are listening and you're not leaving reviews, and I want to know what is up with that. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about dating as a single dad after divorce. So if you guys are my friends on Facebook, if you're my friend on Facebook, or if you're in the group on Facebook, the I Am African podcast group, then you would have noticed probably me asking over and over and over for a single divorced dad to come on this podcast and talk to us about what dating is like. It's not difficult at all to get a woman to come on, but to find a man, I kept asking and asking and asking. It was like he didn't exist. And I knew he did, because who's divorcing all these women? They exist, right? I know not all the divorced African women were married to African men, but some of them were, myself included. So where are these men and why are they not coming up? I got told that it was because men did not like discussing their relationships publicly, especially African men or black men or men of African descent. They don't want to discuss their relationships, especially one that did not work out. But I kept searching. I kept the faith. More like I kept harassing people. Get me a man. Get me a divorced man who is a dad, who is dating and is willing to talk to me about what that's like. And I made sure to tell all the men that we will not be discussing your marriage, okay? We're not going to be discussing who you were married to, why the marriage failed, what part you played in it. We weren't going to talk about that. I was more interested in what life was like as a divorced dad. And because I know what it's like as a divorced mom, but I was curious about it, about what it's like as a divorced dad. So enter Gozim. If we have the mutual friend who introduced me to him, and then Gozier came on and he spoke freely and he had a lot of questions. And well, not he didn't have questions for me, but the listeners had questions. And you guys, if you are interested, which I hope you are, in asking our guests questions before we record the interview, questions that I can read out, just join the group, because that's where I always put it out there that, hey, I'm going to be talking to XYZ. Do you have questions? So if you want to be a part of that inner circle, just check out the show notes and click on the link that says I Am African Podcast on Facebook. Voila, you are there. I'm going to stop rambling. Let's get into this talk, this gist with Gozim. Hi, Gozim. Welcome to the I Am African podcast.
Hi, Vera. How are you doing?
I am great. Such a pleasure having you on. We started recording this before and then we had technical problems and then this is like another take. So we hope we get to the end without any issues. So let me repeat what I said before. Oh. I said that you are like a unicorn because of how hard it was for me to find a divorced dad who's dating. It was like they just don't exist. But I knew they did. I knew because I'm like, there are all these African women who are divorced. So somebody's divorcing them. It's even if they're not married to African men, the point is there are some of them who are married to African men. And where are these men? Yeah. And nobody, every time I asked on any social media platform, it was cricket.
Yeah. Cricket. Well, I feel real special now.
Yeah, yeah. And when I mentioned it in the group, we have a group on Facebook that I found someone and do you guys have any questions? I always ask, well, you got a lot of questions, Gozim, so because we've never seen a thing like this before. Like finally the guy showed up, so we're gonna ask him all of the questions.
Bring it on.
Okay. I'm glad to say. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Gozim Mwameka. I am obviously Nigerian. I moved to the States in 1985. I was married. That's why we're doing this. I have
three, yes.
I have three kids. I live in West Hartford, Connecticut. I do a lot of golfing because I like to golf. And I'm in IT. That gives me a lot of flexibility in terms of when I can and cannot work.
Okay.
My parents live in the same town as me, so it's great. They get to see their grandkids, and I get to help them out when they need things done. My brothers also happen to live in the same town as I do, so we got one big family here in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Awesome. That's you're quite lucky to have all your family that close to you. That's so cool. Okay. So let me get into this question so that I'll ask you my own questions.
Okay.
And then when we're done discussing, then I'll get into Facebook questions. And I'm sure that some of the questions on Facebook would have already discussed. So if we come across one of those, we don't have to answer that again. So, all right. Let me start from here. How long were you married for? Before you got divorced?
I was married for 12 years.
Okay. And how old were your kids when you got divorced?
I have three kids, twin boys who are right 10 and a half. And the youngest one is was 9 years old. We had them 15 months apart just to try to get it over with because we had to go back to work.
Okay. Well, all right. That's nice. So they were 9 and 10 at the time, you said.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So young, but old enough, right?
Yeah. Young, old enough to kind of know what's going on.
And young, right.
And young enough to be still confused by it. Right.
Right. Right. Okay. My kid was 2 when I separated, so there was no conversation to be had.
Okay.
And even now, we haven't had the conversation because she's 4. We should be 5 this month, but I don't think she doesn't even remember that I used to be married. So no conversation so far. Okay. And how did you break this divorce news to your family? Not your kids, but like your parents, your brothers, maybe really close friends?
Well, I mean, there are circumstances going on that obviously made it pretty clear we're going to get divorced. So they sort of knew that. So it wasn't a big surprise. Again, everyone was supportive in terms of doing whatever you think from both parties, doing whatever you think you need to do to sort of, resolve the situation, right? So again, it's really a lot of this is about people being happy, right? So you can't be in a situation where you're not happy,
right?
And I think it was the best, right? So and family was supportive of whatever the decision was.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. And what does your custody arrangement look like now?
It's 50-50.
Okay.
So, but my kids are now old enough, right, in high school, where they, you know, it's a little different, and you'll kind of get to that point depending on what your custody situation is. Uh-huh. But it's much more disruptive to kids who are mature to be going back and forth, right?
Okay.
So yeah. they have some flexibility in terms of kind of what they want to do. But for a good 4 years, it was basically 50-50.
Okay. So now they get to say, maybe can we not come today and come tomorrow type thing?
Yeah, they get to drive the agenda, right? And I think, you know, it's kids have different lifestyles, right? As it gets getting older.
Right.
And it's disruptive to be going back and forth, right? I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And so now let's get into the nitty gritty. I forgot to even introduce the topic. I just got into it. So what we're talking about today is what it's like to be dating as a divorced dad. So now let's get into the dating part. That's the juicy part everyone is waiting for. So how long after your separation first of all, you're in the state of Connecticut. What are the dating rules like? Do you have to be completely divorced legally to start dating?
I think that, to be honest with you, I think that if you really think about it, Connecticut is not a state that penalizes people for, you know, for having affairs or things like that. So essentially, once it's really a call people make, right? Once you decide you're not going to be married, I think you can decide when you want to start dating.
Okay. So Ghazeem, how long after your separation did you decide you want to start dating?
Well, I mean, I think I want to qualify dating, right? So I think there is like saying I'm going to seriously look at like dating people, and then and then there is just saying, you know what, I'm just going to go for a casual drink or just go out and just hang with folks and see what happens, right? So I think for me, my whole push was just to get on with my life, right? So I didn't feel the need to say that I'm going to set a certain amount of time where I needed to, you know, have a cooling down period. Having said that, you know, it does help to kind of not look at dating from my mind, dating from a serious perspective. And that's the way I approached it, because people may not think it does, but it takes a while to get over being in a different situation, right? Because I think once people are divorced, even those who initiate divorce, there's a certain sadness to it, right? That people have to get over. And I think for me, it made sense to not sort of get into anything serious until I was basically in the right frame of mind.
Okay. So what you're saying is you started by dating casually, maybe?
You go hang out. You go to, I mean, I live in West Hartford, which has a lot of options in terms of things to do. You know, I'll go out to dinner. I'll go out with friends. I'll go out to the cigar shop. Have a cigar and just hang out and do things like that. And then I think from doing that, you get to meet people and then you can decide, where you want to go from that, right? And that sort of was my approach to it.
Did you feel during your divorce like you were automatically blamed because you were the man? Did you feel like you were held more accountable, or that people just assumed like, you're getting divorced? Well, what did you do?
So I think people are more sophisticated than that now, right?
Okay.
And I think there's, in terms of things being done, I think there's it's a new world, right? So I think women are just as guilty, right? that's just a reality because it's not like it used to
what
be.
What are you talking about?
It's not like it used to be. I think
women guilty, no.
Well, you know, hey, I think, you know, I think, but having said that, there is still a sense. I was just at a function with a guy I hadn't seen in a long time. And then he happened to see me with another woman. And he's like, oh, what happened to you? And then I told him I was divorced. He said, oh, what did you do to that fine woman? So there is still some of that from the older folks, right? There's still that belief that the guy had something to do with it. But if you look at the statistics, right? I mean, women are initiating divorces, not men, right? So it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I initiated my divorce. Another question. Do you feel the stigma of divorce?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, to be honest with you, at the point I am right now, I don't even, it's almost like when you first get married, right? When I first got married, it took me a while to start saying my wife, right? I was used to saying my girl, but then it just happened. It happened one day, and it just moved over, and I didn't even know when it happened, but it happened. So from the perspective of being divorced, I don't even know I'm divorced. I just know I'm Gozim, and I'm just living my life. I obviously it's a part of my life. I can't ignore it. But I don't walk around feeling like I'm divorced. I don't even, it's not something I kind of sense, and I have a sense of every day and every moment of my life.
Okay. So when you started dating, was it awkward asking women out? I'm assuming you were asking women out. So let me retrace my steps.
I think
you ask women out.
I think you have to assume that women are asking me out.
Oh, okay. Excuse me for that blunder. Women were asking you out. Okay. Let me assume then.
No, I think, well, I mean, so here's what happens, right? Friends try to link you up with people.
Right.
And again, I think depending on who you are, right?
Right.
There have always been some, there may have been some people who have, you know, kind of been eyeing you and see it as an opportunity for, to basically pounce for lack of a better word.
Uh-huh.
But, so there were different scenarios, right? And I did ask some people out. Some people asked me out and some things happened organically.
Okay. So for the women that you did ask out, was it awkward? Did you find yourself having to get reacclimated to what it's like to ask a woman out? Because I'm assuming you hadn't done it in 12 years. So yeah. Was that awkward?
I don't know that it's any more awkward than the first time you have to ask someone out, right?
Okay.
Depending,
even if you've had this long break in between where you just had to ask someone out.
Correct. But depending on who they are, right, and the kind of rapport you have with someone, that really drives how comfortable it is to ask them out, right? Because again, some of these things just happen organically where it's not like I just say, hey, would you like to go out on a date with me?
Uh-huh.
It's not that formal, right? It's a lot of it was just kind of just organic, you know, hey. You know, I'm going here. You know, can we meet somewhere? And just no. And I think it was not. It really was not uncomfortable because.
Okay. Did you feel like dating was different?
Yeah, I think it's different.
People are now Netflixing and chilling and things like that.
Well, it's different. I think it's different. For a lot of reasons, right? It's different because technology is now a huge part of it.
Right.
I think it's also different because people have changed, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a much more, I don't want to use the word selfish, right? It's much more, what's the word I'm looking for? People are so much more into themselves, right? There's so much more, maybe some of it is confidence, some of it is selfishness, but it's a little different, right? So in some regards, it does make it easier to vet people, right?
Right. So speaking of technology, did you do online dating?
I tried it, but it was that. I did actually, I did one online date.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was, I don't think it was horrible. I initially thought it was a date from hell, but I don't, you know, people don't look the same when you see him. And I'm an extremely visual person also.
So you weren't liking what you saw. It looked different from what you saw on the app.
You can't really get a measure of someone unless you talk to them.
Right.
But, you know, writing, texting, whatever it is, it's just not the same. So I talked to this girl, this lady on the phone before we went out, it seemed like we're clicking.
Right.
But it was pretty clear after the date that we weren't going to call each other back. Which is good. Those are great, though. Those are actually the best, right? I think it's,
right.
For when it doesn't work out, those are the best. When both parties are like, I don't think this is going to work.
Yeah, I think so, too. No need wasting your time. You know up front, like, yeah, no. Okay. So tell me about your very first date that you went on.
Serious date?
Yeah, serious date.
So let me see if I remember.
That many, huh?
Or let me pick the best one, right? So I don't know.
Pick the first one you remember, the first serious one.
So I think the first serious date that I remember was actually pretty casual, right?
Okay.
Went down to there's a restaurant that sells tea. It's called Toussaint's.
Okay. Yeah,
it's actually in Hartford next door. Went out there just to have a cup of tea, right? You know, they have these big, these massive cups where they serve you all these exotic teas. I'm okay with simple teas, but
right,
but they, in Nigeria we drink a lot of Lipton tea, right?
So, right.
This was not Lipton tea. This was a pretty pretty exotic, and then it was very casual. We sat down and talked, And again, talked about, sort of being divorced. She was divorced also.
Okay.
Dating and all that stuff. So there was a lot of things to talk about that we had in common, which made it a lot simpler. And that was a good date. So I thought it was, we went on a couple of dates, but again, it didn't go beyond a couple of dates.
Right.
Because I was still kind of in that vetting process where I was, doing everything possible to not, it's very difficult to do, right? Because part of what happens is that you're built a certain way, right? And you like certain people, certain types of people, whether it's the way they communicate, with the way they look, right? We are attracted to certain kinds of people. And sort of subconsciously, you're going to start almost being attracted to finding people who basically remind you subconsciously of what you had, right?
Absolutely. In some regard.
And so I was still in that process of vetting that people out and trying to make sure that I was very careful around not ending up with something that sort of, not that that was bad, but you want to be careful that you don't end up in the situation where the things that caused you to get divorced.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I always say you don't want to enter one chance again.
That was another phase. So it took me probably about 2 months, right? Then the second phase was the phase of saying, you know what? I don't want a girlfriend. I just want to have fun.
Oh, you want to live your best life.
Yeah. So that's a phase that I went through, and that one lasted about 8 months. And I don't regret any of it. It was really, and there's no, absolutely no pressure, right? And no,
right.
No, you don't put pressure on anybody. You don't accept any pressure, and you're just living your life and just doing what you can. And I mean, I got to do things. I was just traveling. I went to the World Cup. I just did a bunch of things that I that I wanted to do.
Okay. Did you find navigating divorce scary? When I did my first episode of the podcast, it was about divorce. And I said that I prayed for my divorce. I prayed for it to happen. Still, I described it, and I still describe divorce as death. I was like, it felt like, because it's like the death of this life that you built.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The dreams that you had with this person, all the plans, and now it's like everything has ended. Was it difficult for you to navigate divorce? Were you just like, okay, cool, whatever, we have to do this. This is where we are. Or were you like having heart palpitations at the thought of the entire process?
No. I think that, from my perspective, it was obviously, like you said, like it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a death, right? Something to stop, uh-huh. right? And there's always whatever you want. They talk about this, the phases of depression, right? Whatever, uh-huh. right? You have uh-huh. to go through those phases, not necessarily all of them, depending on where you are, who you are, right? And mm-hmm. depending on how or who initiated it and who's fed up with it and all that stuff. There's so many different variables, right? But mm-hmm. I think anyone with a heart has to feel something, right?
That
it's almost like a dream died, right?
And, right.
And then you have to mourn that dream, right?
Yes.
I think that was the same thing with me. And I think with most people, it happens that way. I'm sure there's some who can't get, it's like the marriage from hell, and they can't wait to just get out of there, right? But even in that case, right, we as human beings don't necessarily want to admit to ourselves that we made a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's difficult. So because of that, you're gonna mourn that. It's almost like, what could have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know, what if I had done this? What if they had done this? All that stuff. But really, it's okay for people to go through that, right? But at the end, right, where you should arrive is that, you know what, you have to be with someone you like and someone who likes you, right? And someone you can get along with, someone that gets along with you, someone you're compatible. You have to be with someone like that. And if it's not working, then it's not working.
I agree. Did you ever seek therapy?
For me, it's almost like a controversial thing, because I try my best not to sort of publicly give out my opinions on therapy, right?
Don't like therapy.
I have my reservations. Not because I don't think it's a good idea, but because it's hard for me. I've been around so many people, and I've gone through therapy and done all that stuff. I just don't see the track record, right? I don't see the track record of success.
And okay.
That is my apprehension with it, that people end up being sort of where they are, and I just don't see the track record in my head. It didn't work.
Now, for me. Are you talking about therapy when you say you don't see a track record? Are you talking about couples therapy or your individual therapy?
Couples therapy, I definitely don't see the track record there. Individual therapy, I think you have to be committed to it. But because of culturally sort of where I come from and the way that things are resolved, right? It's hard for me to go to see. It's hard to see that. So for instance, you have a headache, right? You go to the doctor, right?
They give
you pills, and you feel better.
Right.
You know it. It's basic. It's not even a debate as whether you're better or not, right?
Okay.
It's for me, it's never been that clear cut with therapy, right? And mm-hmm. I'm paying someone to sort of care about me, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think that the people in my life, family and people like that, and the way they ground me and things like that. So I got my therapy from listening to my brothers, my parents, and everybody else. So give me advice and offer me and consolation and all that stuff. And that's sort of me. But that's me. Everyone's different. I think that for me works for me. I like to internalize things.
Right? Okay.
And that's sort of the way I did it. I look at, what can I control? What can't I control? So I almost don't need someone to tell me, you need to look at what you can control, what you can't control. Because I'm constantly always kind of like going through my head and playing out different scenarios of what ifs, this, this, and that. And that's kind of how I am with everything I do.
Okay. We talked earlier in the beginning, you mentioned how men don't really like talking about things like this. So why do you think that it was so hard, in fact, practically impossible for me to find a divorced dad willing to talk about not even the marriage or why they got to divorce, but just dating? I kept including it in my question when I was looking to say, I'm not asking you to come on the podcast to tell me about your marriage or why or how it failed. I just want to know after the divorce, the dating part. But nobody, I got crickets. So why is that?
Yeah, I think the number one reason is people are private, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that's the number one reason. It's not.
So the women are not private.
Women don't see expressing themselves that way as giving away their privacy, right?
Okay.
And sometimes, in some regards, men may feel that way, right? Because now you have to open yourself, right? You have to become vulnerable in a sense when you open
right.
yourself, right?
Right.
To talking about those kind of things,
right?
And it's happened. For instance, right today, right? The Lakers are playing, and I'm talking to you, right?
We feel so special.
So it's all. I probably would much rather watch the Lakers, right? But I think that's the biggest part of it, right? Is that they just don't want to pride. They're just. It's almost like, and it's cultural also, right? I'm going to venture to say that if you start looking at some other cultures, you're going to get a better response, right?
Yeah, I'm sure I will. So
people that just don't go about yapping about their business, right? Men just don't do that, right? So that's part of it, you know.
So if you were my friend on Facebook at the time I was asking this, would you have said, hey, me, I can do it?
If I were your friend on Facebook, I don't... Uh-huh. There are people who are on Facebook and they're constantly looking at everything. If something popped up, and I was in the frame of mind, I just got that feeling at that point, yeah, I'll do it. Like when Iluka told me about this before, and again, Iluka is a mutual friend who kind of introduced us, just for the folks listening. I said, yes, I said, yeah, I'll think about it. And it took like, a month before I was reading through my WhatsApp text from him. I was like, okay. Oh, he sent me this. Then I called him and said, yeah, I'll do it. So not because I didn't want to do it, but because there's so many things going on. That may be the case with a lot of guys also. It's not like they don't want to do it, but things pop up and they just don't. We're not that organized. We just don't. Our brains don't organize that way, right? They talk about how guys are single task people, right? Well, we are multitaskers, right? So we need to resolve this and get this done before we move on to something else. So if you happen to fall in the queue at a time where there's nothing to do, then you get on the show.
Well, good to know. Thank you very much. Do you want to remarry?
That's probably 80% no.
Why? Please tell us.
Well, what is... So, I guess my question back to you would be, what would be the reason to get remarried?
I don't know.
So
in my case, I wrote on my blog, I don't know if I'll remarry. That's what I said. I'm not saying I won't or that I don't want to, but that I don't know if what I'm looking for exists in a human man. So that's why I said, I don't know if I'll ever remarry, but I do want more kids.
Okay. So you can have kids without being married, right?
Yeah, you can. I'd rather not. It would be like a last resort.
Yeah. So the thing about it is, I think I am sort of there also, where that's the last thing on my mind. But it would have to take something special, someone special. I shouldn't be saying someone special, because also I have to be special for them too, right?
But right, of course.
It would have to take a special situation for that to happen. Because I don't want to have any more kids. I don't need to have any more kids. I already got three kids. There's a certain level of, in a kind of a weird way, there's a certain level of independence and freedom, right, that you get from being single, right? It's
yeah, absolutely.
There really is. So it's almost like, what would it take? It would take someone that understands that and is willing to sort of be in a situation where you're committed, you're living together, you're married, but you still have that kind of sense of independence.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite there yet.
This is the questions are being asked to me, so I'm answering.
Yes, you are.
As honestly as I can.
You are answering them. Thank you for that. How has divorce changed your approach to marriage? Not marriage, I'm sorry, to dating.
So it's, again, I think I may have touched on this earlier, but it's changed my vetting process, right?
Uh-huh.
So the things that I look for, the things that irritate me, right?
Uh-huh.
Actually, maybe when I say change my vetting process, it's not necessarily for the negative or positive, right? Because it may be something that I did when I was married that was not ideal for a relationship that I don't do anymore because I've learned that that's not ideal for a relationship. Right. So it's on both sides, right? But there are also things that I may have tolerated before that I'm not going to tolerate again.
I completely agree with that last part.
So I think it's both, right? There are things I've improved myself, right? So those things that I should maybe not have done, I'm checking to make sure that I don't get into a situation with someone who's going to enable that in me, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's definitely bad. So do you think that you now have a longer or shorter fuse? I'll give you an example. Well, let me elaborate more. Like, okay. I know that when I was younger, before I got married, that I might be talking to a guy where in my head I'm already like, yeah, I don't really see myself dating him. But I'll entertain him, I'll accommodate him, sure, I'll have dinner once in a while. But now, if a man comes and I know that this is not it, I don't even bother. I'm like, I don't have the time anymore. I don't want to entertain it if I already know that this is not what I'm looking for. So do you feel, in that sense, I feel like I have a shorter fuse. Do you feel like you have are you more patient? Or less people.
So I think experience has its benefits, right? So what you just explained is a result of experience, right? You've gotten better, you've been in more situations.
Yes.
You have a better feel of things that are absolutely, maybe again, you're never gonna be 100% right, but you have a better feel of things that are probably not going to work. So you're not gonna waste your time. And that comes in experience. The more you do this, the more you date, the more, and again, marriage is a huge, big experience, right?
It is.
So it's the same. I think it would be the same for everyone. Same for me, right? I'm not going to be the nice guy that asks the girl that no one's dancing with to go dance, right? I'm not going to do that. I've already done that. I'm not going to do that.
No. Yes.
I'm gonna dance with who I want to dance
with. Right. Yeah. That's definitely experience. As I always tell my friends, I'm like, I don't want a project. I've already had one. I don't want one anymore. Like, I don't want to pick up after anyone. And I'm not talking about pick up plates, but I'm like, I don't want that. So I get that. Experience definitely does do that. Generally, do you think that the world has enough sympathy or empathy for men who are going through divorce? Or you think we look at them like, please, they'll be fine. They're men. And is the woman who carries all the burden?
I think obviously it's pretty clear that from a procession perspective, the men don't get as much sympathy as much mm-hmm. as they probably should, because given the fact that they also have feelings, right? It's not
right.
But I think it stems from historically that women have historically been the ones in the disadvantaged position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some sort of overcompensation, right, in some regards, and then you also have the feminists who may take it just a little too far.
Oh Lord!
but they have a right to express themselves too. So I think that's why. It doesn't come from a place of malice.
Okay. All right. Now let's get into this Facebook questions, because there are quite a few of them. This one is from Anita. And Anita says, what is his approach to introducing his children to potential partners? As he dates, is his main goal to find a new wife or a mother for his children?
So I'm gonna answer the last two questions first.
Okay.
No, I know.
All right. No to the new wife and no to the mother for your children.
Yes. No one knows.
Gotcha.
The first question was the approach. So, right. So again, I think age matters, right? So my kids are obviously a little older now.
Uh-huh.
So I would not introduce, and again, this is me, and I'm not going to tell people what to do, but okay. I would not introduce anybody to my kids who is not going to be someone that you're seriously, seriously going to be hanging around with, right? So.
Okay.
That was my approach. So there's only been two people I dated that my kids knew about.
Okay.
Right.
Piggybacking off of this question, do you and your ex-wife, do you have a pact or an agreement that about who you date? Like, would she introduce you to her partners and you introduce her to yours?
We have no pact. It's kind of all organic. I don't meddle. I don't want to meddle, and I don't care at all. So
okay. Okay. All right. Next question, also from Barry, Anita. What's his approach to co-parenting? Does he leave the bulk of parenting to his ex, or is he actively participating?
I'm super actively participating. Remember that in divorce cases, there is a bias towards men where they don't necessarily get the amount of parenting that they deserve, right? Or that mm-hmm. they should get. I think states have noticed that it matters to kids that they spend time with both parties. So they started kind of like changing things around. But I requested and made sure I had joint custody.
Okay, that's great. Now, Anita has a third question for you.
Wow. Geez, Anita.
He plans to remarry. Will he try to foster a relationship between his new wife and ex-wife? I think you kind of answered this one already.
No. Well, so here's the thing. I don't, there is no, I don't have, I can't, you can't pre-plan those things, right?
Right.
Right. So if it happens, it happens, but I'm not, that's not something that I'm sort of thinking about. I think that eventually as people, and women are better at this, right? That mm-hmm. even without you knowing, sometimes those women would sort of get together, and even if and it just happens because there's 6 degrees of separation, right? It's probably right. More like two now with social media.
So more like two.
Everyone knows everyone else, so without you even kind of approving, it's probably going to happen.
Okay. Next question from Fumi. Would he date a single woman with children?
Good question.
I am surprised at the pause.
Actually, the pause was to sort of make it seem more dramatic.
I see.
Obviously, right? You know, but I mean, but if she has kids from hell, no.
Who are the kids from hell? Like if they're like spoiled or something?
Well, I think
not upstanding citizens.
Sometimes you just kind of like you back off things even if it's good for you, and uh-huh. because ultimately, a kid's relationship with a parent is more important than any other relationship. So if a kid is kind of like in somewhat traumatized by you,
uh-huh.
the best thing to do is to bow out, right? That's the way I look at it. So it depends, you know. I mean, some kids are not gonna do. I'm pretty easygoing, and I think a lot of people like me, but you never know.
We're gonna have to poll the people who know you and ask them how they really feel,
and they would tell you I'm a great guy.
We'll see.
Remember, I told you I was pushing people off. Now,
of course. Once they found out you were single, everybody was trying to pounce and get a piece of Gazim. No problem. Everybody wanted Gazim to Gazim or to Gazim them. All right. Next question. This one is from Mickey. Does the ex-wife have a say in who she wants around her kids?
No.
Okay. That was nice and short.
The less drama you have, the better it is for you. And all those rules that you can't enforce, right? There's no way you can enforce who your partner is going to be around.
Right.
Right. No way. So why even bother?
Okay. Next question is from Dale. Dale has several questions. How soon after the divorce did he start dating? Okay, we already tackled this one, right? Yeah. You already answered this. When did he decide he was ready to start dating? Yeah, I think you kind of answered this one already. Yeah. You had the phases. You had the 2 months phase, right?
Yeah.
And then you had the 8 months phase where you said you were just a whore. Oh, no, that wasn't your exact word. Well, but you were living your best life.
You're not even paraphrasing. You're taking liberties with words.
Well, I'm the host of the podcast. I get to interpret the message how I want. All right, well, you had 8 months where you were living your best life.
Fair enough.
Okay. Let me see. What's the next question she has? Is he the custodial parent? So you already answered that. You have 50-50.
Yeah.
If so, how does this affect the dates he goes on? Well, you have some custody. You have 50%. Yeah. How does it affect your dates?
So when I have on the weekends that I have them, I don't go on a date.
Okay.
Right. I go golfing with them. We go do things. When I don't have them, then I can go on dates, right?
Okay. What did he find differently about the dating scene compared to when he was with his ex-wife?
We touched on that, right?
Yes, we did.
I think I didn't want to use the word selfish, right? So mm-hmm. people are a lot more self-centered, mm-hmm. right? In some regards, it's because it may be because some of them know what it is they want.
Right.
some of them are just selfish, right? So it's whatever it is, it's all about it's really more about a me thing. And I think coming from a culture which is more of an us thing, it's you have to be careful, right? Because it's difficult to, you can't kind of like reconcile both, right? It just doesn't work, right? So you have to be careful in terms of how you vet people because of that.
As a person who's divorced, I know for me, I've definitely become way more self-centered when it comes to them. I'm just like, yeah, I don't want that. Yeah. But anyway, next question. This is also from Dalla. Is it harder or easier now? Dating, she means. Is it harder or easier now or when you were with your ex-wife? Or maybe before you got married, I guess.
So, two times. So context, right? The context is that for most people, right, before you got married, you were younger, more desirable, harder, all that stuff. So obviously it was easier then, right? Mm-hmm. and you're quote unquote not damaged goods, right? So
you didn't have the baggage.
Yeah. So I think that also the flip to it is that you get divorced if you're confident, right, and you take care of yourself, at least you're physically attractive, right? And there's also a sexiness and a grace to people who are older, right? Because they carry themselves with a little more confidence, right?
Next question. What's different about his mindset and approach compared to the time before he got married? We already touched on that, your approach to dating now.
Yeah. So before I got married, I had to, again, you have to parse it off, right? Because before I got married, I was very, very, very selective, right? And my selectivity revolved around who did I think I could have kids with, right? Who was going to have the same value system as I am.
Okay.
And
that's a smart way.
Yeah, and because of that, right, there was not that many people who I would say I was dating because I thought there was going to be a future. But I was not going to date, so I still dated quite a bit, but I just knew that it was never going to be a long-term thing. So now I'm dating, and I'm not ruling out long-term commitment. My expectation, what I want is different, right? It's not like I'm not looking.
You're not looking to raise children.
Because I want someone to have. I'm looking more for a companion. I'm looking for more for someone who, when I'm 80 years old, if I'm lucky to make it that far, that long, will be there for me, right? So it's different.
Right. Gotcha. Her last question is, does he want to remarry? But we definitely already answered that.
The answer to that is probably, I think I probably should have been more.
You said 80% no.
Yeah, I should have been more definite. Probably no, but it has to be.
What if you meet this woman that you're like, oh my God, where have you been all my life? And you fall so deeply in love, like helplessly, hopelessly in love, like what happens then? Then you get married for sure.
So I'm still waiting on the call from Halle Berry.
Well, pending the time Halle Berry decides to call back, if you do meet a woman who looks just like Halle Berry, but her name isn't Halle Berry, but she looks just like her, then what?
It's not physical, right? It's more to it. So I think that marriage goes beyond just the physical. There's other things that should make you want to go there, and it has to be the right situation, right? I mean, so remember for folks that marriage is a contract, right? That's really all it is. Is you can have everything in a marriage and not be married, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think because of the direction most of the world is going in, there's a lot less complications, right? And a lot less emotional weight to almost kind of being very, very cautious and very, very careful in terms of your approach to marriage, right?
That makes sense. You can indeed have everything. But then does that mean the marriage is just a certificate, like people say, it's just a piece of paper?
People say that. And when you go through a divorce, you learn that that's exactly what it is. Right?
Well, I mean, yeah, the legalities of it, yeah. But is that the only thing that makes the marriage different from a committed relationship?
So, yes. I mean, mentally is different, right? I think that people have been raised generationally. People have been raised to want to get married, have kids, and all that stuff. Uh-huh. So it's almost like you get married. It's almost like you take your exams, you do this stuff, you get a good job. It's almost like they're saying to you the precondition to having kids and is to be married, right? Right. That's how most people have been raised. That's not necessarily the kind of the prevailing opinion now, right? And right. When you look at the fact that 50% of people that get married are divorced, then you have to ask yourself, and there's a lot of people who are married who should be divorced, right? They just stay married.
Yes. That much is true. Next question is from Ruth. Ruth says, how does he prioritize his romantic relationships while also prioritizing his children?
Because of I have 50% of the chance time I'm not with my kids, I have plenty of time too. So basically it's being handled by the way that the parenting agreement is set up.
Okay.
But beyond that, right? Beyond that, my kids are number one, right? They come first.
Okay.
So and they're always going to come first, right? Until maybe they're 21. I'm going to give them an extra 3 years.
Okay. Next question: how long did it take him to get back into dating again? And does he feel any dad guilt? Is there even such a thing as dad guilt? Is that a thing? I know there's mom guilt.
What kind of guilt?
Dad guilt.
Oh, dad guilt.
Yeah. Does it exist?
About dating?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's different, right? Everyone is different, but I don't.
I guess like when you go on a date, do you feel guilty that you're out here dating?
I think that question may come from a place of someone who may be around the kid a lot, and clearly when they leave, they're like, oh, I'm leaving to go do something. I can't do something with my kid, right?
But
for me, it's not like that. I think if people, it's healthy, right? And I would caution. I would sort of advise women, right? It's healthy to kind of have that break, right, where you get the space because the other person is helping raise the kid also. And that also gives you time to yourself, right? And when you have that, a lot of these things go away because you have enough time to still spend with the kid and also enough personal time to do your own thing.
Yeah, I agree. For someone like me, I have 100% custody, so I do feel guilty when I leave her. And it's not necessarily when I leave her to go dating. It's just, say I go to some place I know, even something as simple as Walmart. I'm like, oh, she would have loved to be here. And I'm here at Walmart by myself. I should go pick her up.
And you're in that DC area where, there's always something going on. You would want to go to a party or something, right? But you can't go.
Yeah, you would think I would go, but no, I don't really. Yeah. Anyway, I'm home. So next question is from Fumi. Fumiga, let me see what this child's questions are. Biko, it starts. How long after the divorce before he opened the skirt of another babe? Wait, never mind. That's an inappropriate question. But wait, I ask because women, Nigerian women, like to do holy holy and would wait possibly years to do the do. But we know our men don't be doing that. So ask the darn question. Thank you. So the question is, How long? I feel dirty asking the question.
So how long before you had sex, right?
Precisely.
I don't remember, right? That would be my answer. But my philosophical response to the question would be that, you know, as once you've just basically started the process, you can have sex as soon as you want to.
Okay, thank you for the philosophical answer. And this question is from Anita. Anita came back. She thought about you. She has you. Question
number four. By the way, just to piggyback to that, right?
Uh-huh.
In the interest of being transparent, right, you have to tell people you're going through a divorce, right? And a lot of women, when you tell them you're going through a divorce, don't want anything to do with you until they understand that they don't want to be the rebound chick, right?
Right.
So they don't want nothing to do with you, right? So it's going to be typically someone who's just somewhere else. Maybe you have to go with someone who's much, much younger, right? Because most women don't want anything to do with you if you're going through a divorce.
Right.
For a while.
Because they're grown folks. They're like, no. Yeah.
They understand. Okay. They understand that that's just for you to pound out your frustrations, right?
Right, right. Okay. So this one is from Anita. Like I said, this is the last question on Facebook. If you haven't, she says, another question is how he divides attention between his children and whoever he's dating.
So I think we've beat this one to death, right? But
the women want to know. The listeners want to know.
So in terms of, I think there are two sides to it, right? There is the fact that I think physically, right, there's a separation, right? Because I have them only half the time. Emotionally, even when you don't have them, right, you're still emotionally engaged, right? And that emotional engagement, I am not going to be ever willing to let go of, right? So I don't even consider that something I should feel like. And if a woman comes to me and starts trying to make guilt feeling me about anything like that, that would be kind of like, see ya, right?
Right. Okay. When Anita was my guest on this week's episode, which went live yesterday, Anita herself is currently going through divorce. So which makes sense why she has all these questions for you.
which is good. I mean, I think we are a fraternity of people that can give others advice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So on our podcast, what we were talking about was sex during divorce. My question now, which I said, actually, I mentioned it in the last episode that I was going to ask you this. When I got separated and people knew I was separated, this was before I even filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. One question that came up a lot that shocked me was people were very curious about the activities of my vagina. They wanted to know, well, what are you doing for sex? Where are you getting it from? Are you using toys? Do you have friends with benefits? You need to do something because you need to have sex. Did you get these questions too? Because Anita said she's gotten the same questions. People wondering about her sex life. So were your friends and family wondering how you were surviving with no resident vagina?
No.
Again, how would have thought you'd have gotten so many of that?
I think that, again, it's different for... By the way, I think it's your fraternity of friends, right? I don't think your mom and dad are asking you that question.
No, so, oh, God, no.
So certainly no, the family was not going to ask me that question.
Right. Maybe a cousin, you know, like maybe a cousin that's around your age who you guys talk nonsense together. Okay.
Well, I think guys may be a little different, right? Because it's not like if you want sex, you can't have it, right?
Right.
You don't really need someone to ask you for me, right, going through this stuff was really just to get it over with and run. And remember, in Connecticut, I think divorce takes a year, right? But once you go, once you sort of started going through the process, yeah, you're gonna, you're like I said, you know, I, you know, you're going to not, you're gonna date, you're gonna do what you need to do, to keep yourself being a man.
And I, in your case, anyway, I suppose once you, you, the people knew you were single, you know, all these women showed up and were pouncing on you, so you. You need, nobody needed to ask you.
You can ask you if you think I'm lying. You can ask Ilka. It was tough.
Wow, tough having all the women pounce on you.
I had to get a gate for my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you still have the gate?
No.
Okay. Well, so for people listening, his house is open now. There's no gate. Pounce on. Okay. I'm really surprised by that one. I really thought you'd say, yeah, a lot of people were asking, but no, nobody.
No. I think it's, I, to be honest with you, I don't, you could have another guy guess or ask guys. I think that's a woman question.
Really? Okay.
I think it is.
Well, let me find out that women talk more about sex.
Yeah, women talk more about sex. We guys, we just do. We don't talk.
I see. People do chop clean mouth. Okay. All right. So now, any words of advice for men who are currently navigating or maybe about to navigate divorce?
Yeah.
It's scary.
So I think it's uncharted territory, right?
And yeah.
Especially for people. Now, if you're going through your second divorce, I have no advice for you.
You're pro at it now.
Yeah. Because, you know, my advice for you is you should not get married a second time. But but for those going through it initially, it can be painful.
Yeah.
It can be confusing. It can be you know, emotionally draining. But the reality is that, like, the phases, right? That the longer you go through the process, the longer it takes, the better you feel, right? And then your confidence will come back. Your kind of like your zen, your who you are will come back, and you will feel better. And it's not the end of the world. Life goes on. If you get divorced today, on Monday, Tuesday is gonna come up. It's not the sun will come. Nothing. So I think understanding that there's a circle of life, right? And part of it should sort of give you some sort of comfort that, you know, it is what it is. Things will get better, and you'll be fine. And there are many, many, many women
to pounce on you,
especially if you're in the DC area.
I don't know about that, but I didn't have women pouncing on me, so I don't know how the women pounce here in the DMV area. But okay, nice to know. So guys, if you didn't take anything else from this, is that also when you're divorcing, maybe move to the DMV area, according to the
DMV. I know. This is what they tell me.
Oh, this okay.
I dated a couple of women down there, and they there was complaint about how the guys thought they were special because it was 3-1. Whatever. This is what I hear. Maybe it's not true, but this is what I hear.
Huh. Well, I'm hearing it now too. I almost feel like I need to investigate and bring the report back to the people. Yeah. But anyway, this has been so much fun, Gazim. Thank you so much. If women anybody, I guess, listening and they want to connect with you, and also especially for women, they're reading and they're listening to this and they're like, well, I need to pounce on him. Where do they find you?
You can find me in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. Where do they find you online? Because are they going to drive to Connecticut and where, turn left and get to your house?
I think we're friends, or I'm on Facebook, right? So we're friends on Facebook. People can friend me on Facebook. And we, you know, if anyone's, you know, has any questions, concerns, or want some advice,
I want anything, period.
I'm readily available to help.
I'm sure you are. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. We got through all the questions on Facebook. You got through all the questions on Facebook like a champ. It was quite a few questions. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. If I can, I will link your Facebook to the show notes. So if anybody wants to connect with Ghazeem and take the conversation off the podcast, feel free to. Ghazeem, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. And keep doing what you do.
Thank you.
It's nice to see someone's doing something like this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, you guys. When you do listen to the episode, don't forget to share. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. And see you next week. The I Am African podcast is powered by Verastic. Thank you for letting me be in your ears today. If you have not yet, please subscribe, review, and share this podcast. Do you know any remarkable Africans who should be on the show? People who have compelling stories, or maybe you just have a show idea? Please send any show and guest suggestions to iamafrican@verastic.com. That's iamafrican@verastic.com. Follow I Am African Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find me too at Verastic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Once again, I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.